The Lord be with you.
And also with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you,
Lord. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area. And all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now, in the law of Moses, commands us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." The Gospel of the Lord. Before we look at this Gospel, it is good to set ourselves in the perspective of St. Paul, who in the second reading today tells us that he continues to push forward because he himself does not yet possess the resurrection. He says that still he has not arrived to full maturity. If we know that Paul says this about himself, then we too, who are disciples of Christ, need to live with this understanding that we too are in the journey. So this gospel is not for someone else that we would like to apply it to, but let each of us apply it to ourselves as we push forward seeking to reach maturity and allow the Lord to heal us and truly possess us with his love and mercy. Now, the gospel today begins by telling us Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. This line immediately brings to the memory of any good Christian that this is the very place where Jesus went to pray after the Last Supper. This is the place where He sweat blood for us. This is the place where He made His definitive, willing, free choice to die for our sins on the cross. Lest we think that this gospel is about minimizing sin, it's rather about revealing to us the great love of Jesus to bring it all upon Himself, to bring forgiveness. And so, after spending the night in prayer to the Father, interceding for us, honoring the Father, early in the morning, He arrives in the temple area, and the multitudes come to Him, eagerly seeking to listen. And what is He teaching? The good news, the way of life. Humanity had been held in darkness, in bondage, in hopelessness. And now, Jesus is breaking open the way of life, teaching them about the love of the Father, teaching them again how to be sons and daughters. But there's this group who has already closed their hearts and are angry at Jesus precisely because He's drawing people to the light. And they intervene, they interrupt by bringing this poor woman caught in adultery and making a scene with her, manipulating her for their own intentions. Now, they were thinking, if Jesus agrees that she must be condemned to death, then He would be contradicting His own gospel. But if He says that she should not be condemned to death, then we're going to accuse Him of contradicting Holy Scripture. For it says in Deuteronomy, it says in Leviticus, that such persons should be put to death. Now, of course, these people were not interested in following Holy Scripture. They just were using them for their own purposes. And brothers and sisters, let us realize the danger for us. When we get angry, when we are upset with someone, that we are capable of doing such things, manipulating the truth, using even Scripture, interrupting the work of God, just because we want to have our way. But the Lord stands fast and tells them, the one who is without sin, let him throw the first stone. Now, all Jews, like all Christians, whether we practice or not, we understand that we are all sinners. And so throwing a stone at that time would have been in itself a contradiction to the Jewish faith. And therefore, they were embarrassed and they realized the best thing we can do is leave as soon as possible. And so they did. Perhaps not because they were convicted, but because they didn't want to make a scene of themselves and get the enmity of the people. And so Jesus was left alone with this woman. And perhaps it was the first time that a stranger looked at this woman with pure, loving eyes. And this woman was moved, was touched by the Lord, was healed, and Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now, if we do not know, or if we do not believe in the power of God to forgive, and the only one who can really condemn and forgive would have been Jesus, and Jesus forgave her. If we do not know this power of forgiveness, then we are locked into two modes. Either we want to destroy the sinners, especially if they have sinned against you or me and we're angry, that's what we want to do. Destroy them, get rid of them. Or we want to pretend that sin does not exist. It's just a mistake. It's just an accident. No big deal. Jesus does not accept either one of those options. Jesus teaches us that sin is a grievous offense against love, against the Father. But his resolution, his answer to this, is to bring it upon himself, and in an act of infinite love, offer his very life as a ransom for that woman, for you and for me. And so when we look at the cross, now we know how much we are loved, how much we are forgiven. Not by minimizing our sin, but by realizing that he took it upon himself. And so, like St. Paul, we live from now on as saved sinners, forever grateful. St. Paul said, he loved me, and he gave his life for me. This woman, too, according to tradition, was forever grateful because she was loved and she was forgiven. This, my brothers and sisters, is the core of Christianity. And this is a path that Jesus opened for us through the cross. And it is the path he calls the narrow path, the only way to salvation. As we forgive one another from the heart, then we know also that we are forgiven. And vice versa, as we know we are forgiven by the Lord, then we can have the strength to forgive one another. The mother, the father of this poor woman, who was so embarrassed, who was put in this horrible situation, maybe brothers and sisters, what would they have done? What does love command but to do what Jesus did? To rescue, to bring back home, to call out of a life of brokenness and sin to the life of love and life, which is the life of Christ. So as we love one another, that's what we do. We don't pretend that we're all perfect. We know we're all sinners, but we do not accuse one another. We help one another find the way. A good friend does just that. Helps us to get out of the bad ways and bring us back to the way of salvation. I also find in this gospel interesting that those men knew just where to find an adulterous woman early in the morning. And it's interesting that they only caught the woman because, according to the law, if they wanted to be so observant, they had to bring both. But isn't that the way of sin? When we are not really working with God from the heart, we kind of manipulate things to our own interest. And so this poor woman was just used and manipulated. So as we come now so close to Holy Week, the Lord is speaking to our hearts. Come to me. First you come to me. And bring me your sins, whatever they are. And allow me to tell you, I do not condemn you. Sin no more. And then, in Christ, let us do that to one another. To really defend one another. To protect one another. To bring God's healing and forgiveness and love to one another. The Lord be with you.
And also
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area. And all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now, in the law of Moses, commands us to stone such woman. So what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him.